Cars, Super Late Models, Thunder Cars, Modifies, World of Outlaws, Archives, all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, famed short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
And now, here's your host, live from the Race Time Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Let's get after it. What do you say? Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the RTR studio on a beautiful Sunday. Man, we got some nice weather. Finally, a little bit of temperature along with that sunshine. I hope it was nice where you were. I know it was real nice in New Brunswick yesterday, and oh, man, looked like a beautiful day at Indianapolis today, and what an Indy 500. And man, we got so much to talk about tonight, Junior. So much. Good time to be a race fan these years.
Absolutely. It's Memorial Day, of course, down in the U.S., and the biggest day of racing, basically, today, that can be disputed, but, you know, it's long time been the biggest day of racing. You know, today we had the Indy 500, of course, the Coca-Cola 600, Monaco Grand Prix. Just a stellar lineup of racing, and the first two races definitely you know, didn't let us down. They were great races to watch, and of course the weekend is huge as well. You know, we got a chance to watch the ARCA race on Thursday leading up to it.
Oh, yeah that's
just
right.
A spectacular race over at Charlotte. Really only their second time back in just over 10 years at Charlotte. So, man, lots of good racing this week. And, of course, we didn't make it out to a short track this weekend.
No, we didn't.
But we will next weekend.
Oh, big time, big time. Lots coming at us. We're going to tell you all about it tonight. Let me tell you who we got coming up on the program. So excited to get Mike Garrow, president, owner of MAV TV Canada. Of course, you've either got MAV TV or you're going to get MAV TV in the near future. I'll tell you what, a great channel to have. And we're finally going to get Mike back on here. I know we had Mike on, man, it was a long time ago as he was setting up for MAV TV Canada. Everything is in full swing now. And I'll tell you what, they did some big announcements here just a few days ago with respect to live Canadian racing, and we're going to see that starting next Friday night on MAV TV. So, if you haven't got MAV TV yet, check with your provider. You definitely want to have it. We've got a lot of good things coming down the pipe, and we're going to hear from Mike Garrow tonight, and we're going to have him on here for an extended stay. We got so much to talk to Mike about, and we're looking forward to doing that here soon. Who else we got coming up? How about Cole Butcher Jr.? He went out and won the Lucas Oil 150, finally, the Parts for Trucks Tour out on Canada's East Coast. Got out of the box, series race number one, Petty International Raceway. They were blessed with a beautiful day by the look of the photos and stuff, and it was the 53 Atlanta Tilt Load of Cole Butcher going to Victory Lane. So, the champ from last year wins race number one, and we're going to hear from him tonight.
I mean, no shock who stood in victory lane after the race, but it sounds like it was a great race. I followed along on Twitter and seen, you know, all the stuff that the Parts for Trucks guys were posting, and just an awesome job by Cole Butcher once again. He's setting up, you know. It's last year, the amount of momentum that he has rolling into 2019 and really the poise that he has rolling into 2019. Of course, we talked to him leading up to in the off season, the guy's guns are blazing. And, you know, to get out of the gate with a win, obviously it's a really big deal, right? Every time you can roll out of the season with a brand new win, that's the way to kick off a year. It's all about keeping the momentum from here.
Yeah, the number two also had a really good run. Ashton Tucker. Kid did an amazing job of that number two car. Who else was up there? There was, I can't remember who finished third on the podium. We'll go back and have a look at it. But I'll tell you what, great race. I know I was back and forth a wee bit with the number 67, Dylan Blankhorn. Always competitive, always fast. He had another fast car yesterday. Ended up with a little bit of trouble right off the bat. Had to go to the rear. Fought his way right back up into a top 10 finish. I was back and forth with Brad Mann. He was at the race. Of course, one of our announcers, and we'll hear from him next week when we do the Cummins 150 we've got coming up on Racetime Radio. But Brad lives in New Brunswick. He was there at the race, and I was following along with him, and it was pretty exciting stuff. I'll tell you what, late race caution really set the stage up. I said to Brad earlier in the day, who are you taking for the win? He said, wow, a lot of good cars here today. I got to go with the 67 of Blankhorn. He looks good. The car is fast. And we all know that Dylan can drive the wheels off it. And you know what? Late in the day, I knew that Dylan had ran into trouble. I knew that there was a number of guys that were running up towards the front. I said to him again, Brad, you still taking the 67? And he went, man, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think the 53 has worked so hard to get up there that he may not have enough car to stay there. Undetermined. He said, this is going to be a wild finish. And sure enough, it was. They had a really good day at Petit International. Sounds like the series is in really good shape again for 2019.
Solid car count.
Yes, 25 cars struck.
Yep, great car count and to kick the year off. And, of course, you know, we usually see an even bigger car count when you roll into Scotia Speed World. There's a lot of local guys there, right, in that little area. And then as well, when we get to Riverside, there's always a few extra cars that pick up there. So to kick the year off with 25 cars at Petty, that's definitely a big car count.
Yeah, especially on a rainout, right? They
exactly.
were scheduled to get underway on the May long weekend. It didn't happen due to weather, so it got pushed to Saturday night. So not bad. You got to, you know, look at it. Some guys were scheduled to be there on the May long weekend, couldn't make it back for the 25th.
So, exactly.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. But we'll catch up with Cole Butcher here tonight. We'll also catch up with an APC winner. How about the first APC winner? He did it last weekend at Sunset Speedway. We had it for you, the Daco 100. We're going to get a chance to hear from Jordan Sims from Sault Ste. Marie tonight.
It's his debut on RTR.
It is.
Now, he made it on RTR and stood in Victory Lane on the broadcast portion.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not his first time, I guess, but first time on the talk show portion of Racetime Radio. And it's going to be pretty cool to catch up with Jordan. He put on such a dominating performance at Sunset.
Sure did.
Very, very strong car. Lights out speed. Really looking forward to catching up with Jordan, it's got to have sunk in now. It's taken a few years to get to that point where, you know, he got to Victory Lane. It'll be interesting to hear his take on all the festivities after, and I know a lot of people took notice to what that team did. And they definitely turned a massive corner on the competition side. They've been very strong in the past, but now he's got a little bit of a target painted on his back because he was the rabbit. And definitely a lot of speed at Sunset. It's all about holding on, just like I mentioned about Cole.
Absolutely.
Great kickoff to the season, but now it's about maintaining and keeping that momentum going. And it'll be really interesting to see how Flamborough event number two for the APC series can go for young Jordan.
Well, you take a look at guys that had a really good run in that race. Billy Schwarzenberg stands out. He ended up second in the race in that Spyra car. I'll tell you what, that thing was a missile. He's heading to Flamborough. That's his backyard.
Yeah, definitely.
So he, you know, he's going to be tough there.
Yep.
Dale Shaw back into the series, had that number 83 car set to sail. He was third in the Daco 100. He's going to be wicked fast at Flamborough Speedway. And looking into that top five, J.R. Fitzpatrick in that new Van Dorn machine. He had a great race at Sunset, finished fifth. He come from, I think, 16th, 17th spot,
something
worked
like
his way up.
Yep.
He has had dynamite success at Flamborough so far this year. That's the decide of the next race. So it's going to be so interesting to see what happens at Flamborough.
Really, the top six outside of J.R. Fitzpatrick was kind of a surprise to me, you know, at that APC race. Of course, we were off last week, so we didn't get a chance to talk about the APC race as much as, you know, tonight is kind of the night to recap it.
Right.
But really, the top five to me, outside of J.R. Fitzpatrick, I would have pegged J.R. to be a championship favorite at the beginning of the year. But really a surprising top five to me. Pleasantly surprised.
Right.
But seeing Jordan Sims go out there and win and Billy Schwarzenberg be right up front. I know he's got some new equipment, obviously taking a big swing at it. And same with Dale Shaw to roll out of the gate like that. Of course, very talented. So not surprising on the talent side, just surprising on the equipment side that he can roll out and jump in and after taking a period of time off. Really, some big guns at Sunset did not perform at all, and you know it's not surprising because it's new equipment, it's trying new things, it's, you know, all those things, getting the bugs worked out of their equipment. Even J.R. Fitzpatrick, you know, he can't be happy with a fifth place finish.
No.
You know, with what he had put together over the offseason,
right.
A lot of excitement, of course, you know, rolled into the season strong, winning at Flamborough, but really, he cannot be happy with where he shook out in the finishing order at Sunset. But really, Matt Pertigo, same deal, same story.
Exactly.
Andrew Grizel, same story, you know, just the roughest night ever, just with a car that just got finished off. And, you know, there's quite a few names like that where I think that there's going to be a different top five when you get to Flamborough. But looking at the speed that those guys had, I was shocked.
Yeah.
Like, there
yeah.
was a lot of speed there.
Oh, yeah, and no fluke, right? 100 lap race, you're
no
there.
Fluke. You're there. They didn't back into it at all. So the guys that you figured were going to be there weren't, and the guys who you didn't figure were going to be there were. The guys who you figured that were going to be there,
right?
You know that they're going to shake out and be there at some point this year.
Right.
So it's got to be, you know, the technical director, Daryl, has to have a big old grin on his face because there's a lot of parody in that series.
Oh, a ton.
And you know, that's definitely a positive thing. And I'm excited to follow it along throughout the season.
Well, I'll tell you, we'll also talk tonight about the NASCAR Pindy's race that took place at CTMP last weekend. I reached out. Is that right? Yeah, reached. I reached out to Kevin Lacroix. Haven't heard back from Kevy, and who knows where he is this weekend, right? And I also reached out to DJ Kennington.
Yep.
Haven't heard back from DJ. So we'll talk about the race. We'll sort of preview things heading into Cayuga or Jucasa. Coming up next weekend, you guys are back at it, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's a quick turnaround, but definitely a happy turnaround. I love getting back to the ovals, and the same type of deal over at CTMP. Just a great effort out of the Pinty Series guys, and really a lot of teams stepping up the program.
Yeah, there sure is. We'll get to more of that tonight. Junior, we're going to hit this first break, and then I'm so excited. We got Mike Garrow coming up on the other side of the break, MAV TV Canada. Trust me when I say you're going to hear all about MAV TV tonight. You're going to hear what's coming up. The whole deal. It's all coming at you. We're going to hit this break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're just getting fired up.
This is Randy Hooker, owner of the Country View Golf Course, number 38 Chevrolet, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio hits the road. Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
We've been waiting for this for 7 long months.
It's live, flight-to-flight coverage of the Cummins 150. Featuring the stars of the parts for trucks. Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
Tighten them up, because this is going to get wild.
Under the lights at Scotia Speed World in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
I think you can get it done.
Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Try to get to the front, I guess.
From pre-race to post-race, including live flight-to-flight coverage.
I only steer the wheel.
Only on racetimeradio.com. For event tickets and details, get to scotiaspeedworld.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, hear rare interviews and performances. Oh, live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Racetime Radio.
We are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. Man, I can't tell you how excited I am to get this next guest on the hotline. We've been working on getting Mike Arrow back with us on Racetime Radio for quite a while, but he's been an incredibly busy guy. Of course, he is the president and owner of MAV TV Canada. Let's welcome him in. Mike Arrow, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. Thanks very much for having me, and I love the little E Street Radio tag at the beginning. Speaking of a long time, looking forward to the new Springsteen album coming out with Western Star, so happy to hear that a little bit before we went on air.
So much good content on SiriusXM. I love stopping by the boss's channel every now and then. Incredible. Man, you have been one busy guy, Mike, and I got to tell you, first of all, on behalf of all the race fans, thank you. That's the first words I got to say to you. Thank you for doing all you've done. I know it's been a labor of love, so to speak, but, man, you got flight now.
Well, you know what, Joe, really appreciate that. And again, you know what, that's really what it's all about. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, as we said, you and I spoke before about this, when Speed went away, there was really a giant void that was left. And when I partnered up with the good folks at Lucas Oil and MAV TV US, and we were able to put together a Canadian version, one of the original goals from the get-go was always to kind of get Canadian grassroots racing on the channel. And, you know, lo and behold, after a long battle, as you know, with getting the distribution in play and stuff, as we've done. You know, 19 was really about getting the brand out there and, you know, looking for programming opportunities. And I got to tell you, between, you know, the folks at Pinty's and the folks over at Oswegan Speedway, this really kind of escalated, if you will, our ability to go live. And now we've created this brand called All North Racing, powered by Pinty's, that will be debuting on May 31st live on MAV TV Canada, and we couldn't be more excited about it.
Gotta love it. I know that announcement came out, what, a week ago Friday. I believe it was a week ago Friday. I caught it on MAV TV. Exciting. To say exciting is an understatement, really. For Canadian motorsports fans, for Canadian race fans, to see live Canadian racing on television is truly going to be amazing. And hats off to you and everybody at Osweken and Pinty's for putting everything together. This is going to be it's going to be unreal. Anybody that has seen a race at the Big O knows exactly what they're going to be witnessing on MAV TV Canada. It is simply amazing to watch those sprint cars fly around that racetrack, and we're going to see a dynamite show coming next Friday.
No, again, thanks so much for saying that, Joe. And I really got to say, I mean, the whole concept behind All North Racing powered by Pinty's is really, really inclusive. I mean, it's really a TV program that's going to feature, you know, various forms of Canadian racing, be it dirt, asphalt, you know, could be drag racing on there, could be motocross on there as well. So we're looking at all aspects of Canadian racing. Osweken, as you mentioned, has come in as the anchor track for 2019 and beyond. We've got a lot of things planned around that. Cannot thank Clinton Jeffrey enough over at Osweken Speedway, and obviously Glenn Shires for stepping up and making this happen. And obviously as well, Anthony Spreedy over at Pinty's, him and his team just really saw the value and the support of grassroots racing. And, you know, that's sort of core to their brand. And, you know, I got to tell you, I was out there last Friday night at Osweken Speedway, and great crowd on hand, great support. We were doing a lot of testing and stuff like that. And I think the fans across the country are going to be in for a real treat when they see this. The other thing, too, I guess I can let you know, Joe, I'll spill the beans, if you will, on your show.
Good deal.
But the great news, too, is that these races are also going to be seen on MAV TV US. Now, the first couple won't be live. We're going to be doing them on what's called a digital delay, if you will. But ultimately, the goal is to start to go live with these down the road. And I got to tell you, that's very exciting stuff for, I think, a lot of the tracks in Canada and obviously a lot of the race teams, and opening up more sponsorship opportunities around that.
Absolutely.
That's cool. Huge. That's cool. For the first time, we've got Canadian live television, and the U.S. can't see it. They're going to be on tape delay. Good for you, Mike.
A slight delay. But I got to tell you, they've been very supportive about it, and they do air a lot of various forms of Canadian content on MAV US and stuff around it. But again, going back to, you know, the initial idea behind this, when I spoke with Bob Patterson at Lucas Oil and MAV TV in the US, is it really was about getting the distribution in place for the channel, and then ultimately, you know, supporting various forms of grassroots racing across the country. And this is really kind of, like I said, with some of the players I mentioned earlier, this really, really came together very quickly. It's probably something in our plan that's been accelerated by almost a year. And like I said, we've already been talking some additional tracks and race organizations. David with Oscar was out at the Sunset Speedway, and I know you've got some folks on there as well to talk about that. Great track out there too. I know you were out there as well. Last week, Joe, you and I are exchanging some texts. So very excited to kind of create this platform and really, you know, give Canadian racing a platform for which to shine.
Absolutely. And, you know, the really interesting portion to me, you know, Osweken has always had an amazing car count, you know, in all their divisions. They've always had a great following. You know, they've always had you know, a full field in basically each division for the past 10 years, let's call it.
Yep.
They've had a very strong showing. What this coverage is going to do and what this buzz is going to do, Adam Ross and I and Todd Lewis and David Bradley, we all stood in a circle at CTMP and kind of had a conversation about this. And, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see what the car count does, because I think that guys that don't necessarily race there all the time are going to step up and race there now.
Absolutely.
So now it's going to go, you know, it's going to be a tremendous effort for the racetrack, and the fans are going to number one, they're going to be there. And number two, you know, they're going to get national coverage, international coverage, if you will. So such a cool deal. And that's the biggest thing that I'm excited about is to see what that car count does, you know, what the competition level does. Obviously, they've always had good competition. This isn't a magic wand, but what it is a massive microphone that's going to give these guys a big platform. And that is something that is definitely needed.
Well, absolutely, and again, I couldn't agree more with that stuff. And you know, you mentioned with Adam Ross, and obviously, I'm going to you know Greg Callan as well, and you know with Clinton as well. I think we've got a great authentic crew that just you know they've been around this for 20 plus years, and you know they really get the fans excited in terms of how they present the overall package and stuff with it. And like I said, it was one of those things that just made it a little bit of an easier checkoff with what we were doing to kind of you know. Dive into this, if you will.
If you're just tuned in to Racetime Radio, welcome aboard. We have Mike Garrow from MAV TV Canada on with us tonight, talking about all things MAV TV Canada and how excited everybody is to have an actual motorsports Canadian channel that you can count on. Mike, you got to be getting pulled a million different ways with the different disciplines of racing here in Canada. As you mentioned, you got drag racing, you got dirt racing, asphalt racing, snowmobile racing. You got every kind. Have all those different organizations been pecking away at you, saying, "Hey, how about us?"
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what, Joe? It's a good thing. And again, we're getting back to people as quickly as we can. I mean, we've got a great nucleus team, you know, here at MAV TV Canada between you know Peter Kelleher and Rick Pereira and Rebecca Axley and. You know, we really try to get back as quickly as we can, and that's what we're trying to do at this point. It takes steps to get these things in place. And again, I think our biggest thing is, too, is just, you know, looking at opportunities where we can do things around, you know, tracks, race organizations as well at this point. You know, we've had a lot of race teams reach out to us, which we've, you know, we follow back on. But I think for this stage for us, even looking at opportunities with race teams, is I'd really like to kind of keep it more neutral, if you will, and kind of focus on more of the tracks themselves and the race events, which kind of gives it, I think, more of an even keel. But at the end of the day, you know, when these racers and race teams are competing on it, they can go to their sponsors and say, you know, this will be seen live on MAV or, you know, it'll air this many times on MAV and plus it'll be on the U.S. as well. And again, I think what they did with Oswegan and bringing that forward with their Facebook Live and the response they got there was obviously a big push forward for them, and you know we're thrilled to be partnering with them for this first leg of the All North Racing powered by Pinty's.
Yeah, but with live TV too, Mike, and it's noteworthy here that Oswegan has actually changed part of their format so that it will fit television and make things even more exciting for viewers at home and at the Speedway. So it is a big animal. A lot of things have changed. A lot of things move around to make it all come together. It's got to be momentous to try and do this.
It really is. And again, that's where I tip my hat to Clinton and Adam and Greg and the team over at Oswegan Speedway and obviously Rick Pereira, our executive producer for it, is that, you know, you really want to make it so that it's also TV friendly, but you also got to be aware of the fans that are in the stands and what they're, you know, wanting to watch in terms of the product. But, you know, the timing is very important. The great part is, look, it's Canadian programming and we're staying with it. So we fire up at 9 p.m. Eastern on the channel. And if it goes past 2 hours, it goes past 2 hours. If we've got some additional heat that we're rolling on when we first open up, so be it. That's how it'll be. We're really excited that the response from the tracks and the teams and obviously the sponsors around it. And again, anything we can do to be a part of the new community. Well, we're new to the community. We appreciate the support.
Mike, looking at Oswegan, they've always had, you know, their Facebook Live platform and they've been growing that over the past couple of years. Does this deal come together as quick as it did? Without that background of success on social media?
Well, again, there was a lot of, that was definitely a big plus, absolutely. But I also think just the infrastructure that they had in place was also made it, more tangible to kind of start the process there.
Yep.
Again, you know, we're not necessarily saying every track needs to run out and do that tomorrow. And I know there's a lot of tracks that are also very much utilizing social media. And we're in talks with, you know, a variety of tracks. You know, we're going to continue to look at opportunities where they present themselves. You know, like I said, so far we've got, we're committed with 6 live races for the 2019 series. I could see us maybe, you know, there's like maybe four more that we're looking at that could be part of 19. It's a building process. It's a, you know, it's a multi-year partnership between Oswegian, certainly with MAV TV and obviously Pinty's, who's powering us. But again, I see this process as a build. Not everything can happen the first day. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to what we get done next Friday as a jump off point, and then taking it from there as the season progresses.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I know fans can't wait either. Got to ask you, maybe let's talk about some of the details of the actual broadcast. How many camera shoot is it going to be? Who we got on the microphones? All that kind of good stuff.
Well, on the mic, we've got Ray Callan's going to be doing the call. Adam Ross is going to be providing the color, if you will, and the analytical information that he provides. And Clinton will be certainly there on the track with a lot of the racers, talking to a lot of the pit crews as well. So those three will be there. In terms of cameras, we're looking at about 400.
About 400 cameras.
I'm kidding. No, we're they'll probably be, again, looking at the different camera angles that we were there last Friday. We'll probably have about 6 or so that will be running. But I got to tell you, there's some really great angles that they get at that track. And, you know, the camera ops folks that they, once the race is done, man, oh, man, these guys, they got to be showered off because they are literally covered in dirt.
Yeah, standing up on that patio that they have on the exit of turn 2. Of course, RTR did the Canadian Short Track Nationals there, or the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals.
Yep.
And I stood on the patio just coming off of turn 2, overlooking the racetrack. So it's probably about 30 feet up in the air above the catch fence. And
yep.
You want to talk about dirty.
Yeah.
When I got down, I didn't even know I could get dirt where I got dirt. And
it definitely, I
hear and echo everything that you're saying. But a really cool spot to watch a race from.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And speaking of that, I mean, one of the things I wanted to mention, too, is, you know, they've got a lot of unique things going out there at Oswegian Speedway. And one of the things that Clinton released this week is that they're doing a thing basically to kind of pack the track for TV for next Friday. And so literally they're offering a deal that 6 people per car is $30. So if you get 6 people in your car and you make your way out there to Oswegian Speedway for $30, everybody's getting in.
Beautiful.
Dynamite job.
A really good deal. But, however, thanks to the good folks at Oswegian and what we're trying to do here at MAV is, I think I was mentioning to you earlier, Joe, what we would like to do, too, is we want to give away 10 pairs of pit passes to next Friday's race for All North Racing powered by Pinty's out of the Oswegian Speedway. 10 pairs of pit passes to the first 10 people that go to the All North Racing Facebook page. Like it and share it, you know, and once we get those names and stuff put on there, we will be adding them to the list, and we'll be giving away, like I said, 10 pairs of tickets. So literally that's a value of $70 a person, $700. And again, we just really want to, you know, see a lot of people out there, great experience out there, and just want to pack it on TV night. And obviously as they'll continue to do every Friday night out at Oswegian.
Ah, dynamite, Mike. How about
you
that?
You always in there. Out.
How about that, listeners? There you go. You want to get your way in to us. We can be part of history. And Canada's live motorsports race, the Canada's live, you don't want to miss it. Here's your opportunity. That's dynamite. It really
is.
Yeah,
and we wanted to give that to your, you know, to the race time listeners and stuff like that as well, Joe, because, you know, everybody here that listens to your show every week, that's all about what it is supporting the racing community here in Canada. And again, anything we can kind of do, you know, we want obviously people to be enjoying the channel. We like their feedback, both the positive stuff, and sometimes there's not so positive stuff that kind of comes with the territory. However, we are making some significant changes, and a lot of great content is certainly going to be coming and continue to come to Mavs over the course of the summer season.
Okay, so you get to Facebook. Where do you got to go to Facebook again?
So you got to go to Facebook, go to All North Racing. That's All North Racing, all one word. And you go on there, like it, share it. First 10 people to do it, they're getting themselves a pair of tickets to come out and join us live next Friday night at Oswegan Speedway for All North Racing powered by Pinty's.
Wow, you can't beat that with a stick. How about that? And I can't go because I got to be out on the east coast of Canada. But the cool part is we'll be able to tune in.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
That would be great. That would be great. And there's going to be a lot of stuff to tune into. So we're looking forward to it very much here at Mavs TV Canada.
Mike, would it be okay? Do you have enough time where you can hang out with us for a bit longer? I do have to hit a commercial break. But when we
Absolutely,
come back,
Joe. I appreciate you guys taking the time.
I got a bunch of questions for you still tonight on Race Time. We're going to step out, take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a couple of moments here. More with Mike Garrell and Mavs TV Canada. Stay with us.
Pee Wee Evans, driver of the number 90 Vanguard Sprint Car, and you're on Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks. MAV TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Race Time Radio hits the road Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
We've been waiting for this for 7 long months.
It's live, flight-to-flight coverage of the Cummins 150. Featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
Tighten them up, because this is going to get wild.
Under the lights at Scotia Speed World in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
I think you can get it done.
Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Try to get to the front, I guess.
From pre-race to post-race, including live flight-to-flight coverage.
I only steer the wheel.
Only on racetimeradio.com. For event tickets and details, get to scotiaspeedworld.ca.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Race Time Radio on Sirius XM 167, Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in. I'm Joe Chisholm along with Joe Chisholm Jr. right here in the RTR studio. And on the hotline, we got an extended stay with Mike Garrell from MAV TV Canada. He's with us. Have you gone to Ultra North Racing yet? Have you gone to that?
Yes.
Have you gone to that?
I just liked it.
That is too cool, I got to tell you. Mike, I got to ask you a couple more questions here. We got listeners right across the country, of course, down in the U.S. as well. If you're in Western Canada, let's talk about where MAV TV is actually available right now.
So in terms of Western Canada, we're on Bell Satellite. We're also on Shaw Direct, and we're also available on Telus Optics in the West.
So that's pretty well got everything covered anyway, right? That'd be right across the country. When you're on Bell's, is it still Express View? Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, they still use the name, but it's Bell Express View for the satellite side. But yes, we're up on there. And actually, in fact, when they added us, based on the feedback from customers as well, we were sort of the first channel that they added to Bell Satellite in about 3 years' time, because there's capacity. Literally, they can't add other services unless they take something off. But when Speed went away, and you know, there's a lot of people in rural areas where there's frankly not the fiber, you know, MAV was a natural fit. And one of the things, you know, I like to say with MAV TV Canada is that we don't have any blackouts. So a lot of the content, or all the content that's on MAV TV, is exclusive to MAV TV and is available without any blackouts. So something we're looking to continue to build upon.
Yeah, you got to love it. I know we are Shaw Direct here at home, and in the studio we're Shaw Direct because we are one of those out in the rural area type customers. And Shaw Direct Channel 120, man, you got to have it. When you get into Quebec, Eastern Canada, with the satellites, everybody's good there. But how is it from a provider standpoint, the big cities and stuff like that?
So in terms of Quebec, it's great because, again, thanks to the fans, you know, we literally were on Videotron, which is obviously the largest cable platform in the Quebec market. A lot of that was really also, I mean, we were having meetings and stuff with the folks there, but the fans literally put together about 7,000 people on a petition that they sent to Quebecor that owns Videotron. And David, who I was dealing with there, he called me right away. And he's like, did you know about this? I said, no, but I'm telling you, there's an audience. And sure enough, we were able to, you know, get the agreement done and have that in place. And then, you know, we're also on, you know, Bell 5, covering a fair bit of the marketplace as well. EastLink in the Maritimes, I know there's some great tracks and stuff like that out east as well. And then MTS, Bell MTS in Manitoba, we're on that system. And then a number of other providers like T-Baytel up north and stuff. So kind of we're basically on... We're about we reach about 5.2 million households can access MAV TV as we speak. Obviously, the two that we're not on that, you know, people ask me about is one, Rogers, and two, Cogeco. Again, we encourage people to let them know that, you know, if they want it on those platforms, that they need to hear from, you know, from their customers. And that's kind of how we've been conveying the message. I mean, we've been ready, willing, and able to provide them a service. It's just they've got to hear from the customers on those platforms.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, do we still have homework to do? Is there something that race fans could do to help in their local market? And that answers it right there. Contact your provider. If you can't get MAV TV, contact your provider. Trust me, I contacted Shaw Direct so many times when I would call. They'd say, hi, Joe. So there was lots. Yeah.
No, it really does work. And the thing is too with it is that, you know, I know that folks want to get the service. We obviously want to get the service to them and that. But again, we're the provider of the content. We're more than willing and able to work out whatever deal. It's just we need those other parties to come to the table. And I know we also get a lot of people, Joe, from out west on, you know, that have Shaw Cable. They've asked about that. We are available on their new service called Shaw. It's Blue Sky, if you will. That's, I believe, how they're marketing out there in the West. It's a new kind of digital platform. I know it's had a little bit of a slower rollout than they had anticipated, but certainly MAV TV Canada is offered on the Shaw Blue Sky format. But there's also a lot of people that don't have it, and they have Shaw Cable, and they've been asking for it. So, once again, I encourage any of the Racetime listeners to just, again, say, hey, I'm a Shaw Cable customer, and I'd really like to have it that way and have a place to just turn it on and sit down and relax and watch some racing.
Yeah, you got to love it. That's what it's all about. And cool part is, if you're just tuned in to Racetime Radio, you do have some Canadian live stuff coming at you. Starting Friday, May the 31st, that's this coming Friday, is going to be the maiden voyage on MAV TV Canada. It's going to come to you live from the Big O. And trust me when I say, you want to be at the racetrack, but if you cannot be there, you just turn on MAV TV at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And if you've never seen a race at the Big O, your eyes are going to be full. I guarantee you it will equal, if not surpass, most of the stuff you've seen on television. You're really going to be in for a treat. Mike, you got six races on the schedule as we speak. They'll all come from us weekend, including Tony Stewart when he comes back up here to Canada, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've got Tony Stewart coming up, and Christopher Bell and Enrico Abreu is coming up to race in it, too, for the Summer Nationals. You know, all of them obviously have a history as well with the Chili Bowl, and certainly Christopher Bell winning the last 3 years, I believe it is. So it's going to be a really exciting time, but there's some great racers out there on the Canadian side that I know are going to come out, especially for those race dates, and really give it. So I'm looking forward to it. I know a lot of my colleagues are as well, and obviously the fans. And speaking of live, too, Joe, I just want to mention, I mean, we've got, in June alone, we've got six live races, too, outside of that, from everything from the Lucas Oil Motocross Championship. ARCA's coming up again. We're firing back up with ARCA on June 14th. So there's, you know, there's a lot of live content that we're really striving for on the channel, and a lot of exclusive series stuff that'll be on there. So diversity, I know, is key. I obviously like to watch as well, and you know, we're continuing to plug away on that. We appreciate the input from the fans that hit us up via Facebook and Twitter and stuff with ideas and suggestions. And you know, I want them to know it really doesn't go on deaf ears. We do reply to everybody. And again, we're just trying to make it a channel that people just want to keep on 24/7.
And MAV TV Canada, of course, available on Twitter and Facebook. I suggest you follow them along. You guys do a great job keeping everybody up to date on changing things. I know you get it right out on your social media stuff. Also want to do a tip of the cap. Man, you're getting a lot of them tonight. But the involvement with MAV TV Canada and Oscar. You guys are part of the Modifieds. Dynamite job there as well.
Yeah, I know. It's something that, like I said, we met with David during Motorama. I actually met a lot of tracks and a lot of race organizations. The Motorama event back in March with Inside Track was fantastic. We actually, it'll start in June, just on a side note before I dive into that, but we actually ended up filming two shows that'll be released in June called Motorama All Access. And so they're going to be airing on MAV TV from June, literally right through the race season. And talk about a great location to kind of, you know, meet and interview tons of people from within the industry. But got to meet David with Oscar, see what he was doing around it. And just kind of thought, you know, this would be a great opportunity for us to get involved with his organization. You know, we're sponsoring their rookie award for this year as well. And again, just we're continuing to make those paths and look for opportunities when they present themselves.
Yeah, dynamite stuff.
Has there been anything within the motorsports community that has surprised you, either good or bad? Has there been anything that has surprised you so far as you kind of put together this deal?
You know what I would say, Joe, is that, you know, not coming from the motorsports space, like, you know, I come from the broadcasting background. I was involved in creating and launching the Fight Network years ago. But saw the opportunity around it. One of the great things that I'm really, really enjoying is just the camaraderie and how fan and family friendly it is. It's just so interesting to walk around, you know, the pit areas and see how the teams interact. And obviously when they're on the track, it's no holds bar, everyone for themselves, but certainly just the family and camaraderie aspect of it. Is something that is really has struck me and something that we're definitely and the rest of the MAV TV Canada team enjoying to slowly become a part of.
We're with Mike Carroll, MAV TV Canada. If you're just tuned into Race Time Radio, lots, and I mean lots, has been covered off here tonight. Mike, got to ask you, I want a MAV TV Canada shirt. Where do I get it? Can I get anything? You guys got swag all set up that fans can actually go buy so they can support out the tracks?
Well, we're going to be doing some of that stuff very soon. I know that Rebecca, who handles our chief of operations, she's working on another contest that ran last summer where fans had kind of posted their favorite race images, if you will, and we were sending them prize packs. And so certainly that's something that we're looking to up again starting in July, just after Canada Day. So obviously we like to send stuff out. There's been a lot of great fans that have supported us from the early days and stuff with it, obviously Race Time Radio as well. But yeah, we're definitely going to be having some stuff. But don't worry, Joe and Joe, I'll make sure you guys get something sent to you guys for sure.
You're too good. I wasn't looking for a freebie. I was looking.
No, don't let him fool you. He was looking for a freebie.
No,
he likes a free T-shirt.
And who doesn't? Who doesn't like something? But no, certainly we will be having that. And actually, we are also going to be displaying and obviously offering up the All North Racing brand. I think that the logo design stuff on it when people are on there, I think it's pretty cool. Rick Pereira, got to give him mad props for designing it, and obviously the folks at Pindy's and for their feedback on it. So it's a pretty cool logo, and I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of people wearing that in certainly the months to come.
Well, race fans, you want to see things grow here in Canada. This here is what I'm talking about. Live television, the efforts that MAV TV Canada has put to it, and how about Pinty's? Not only involved in our Canadian National Series and have been for a number of years, look at them getting behind this. The best way to say thank you to everybody is support, and that is Friday night. This Friday night, if you can't make it to the track, turn on your MAV TV Canada on Channel 120 if you are on Shaw Direct. Get yourself a box of those Pinty's chicken wings or nuggets. Sit back and enjoy the show. That is how things happen, and that's how they continue to grow. And this year is exciting, very, very exciting, Mike. And I know from, discussions you and I have had for, probably a year and a half, 2 years.
At least.
This is stuff that you've been working night and day on. And just congratulations for getting where you are. And I know the future is incredibly bright. I know we are very proud to partner with you guys. And I'll keep beating the drum because I love beating the drum when it's authentic, when it is true. I love beating that drum.
No, and again, Joe, we really appreciate it. And like I said, we too are excited to be working alongside with Race Time and what you do with your fans, and you know the amount of interaction you also have with them on social media, I think is really key to this whole thing. And getting the word out. And like I said, we look forward to working with you as well. Opportunities present themselves always with this whole new series with All North Racing. So looking forward to it.
With All North Racing, and this is kind of a question, for the competitors that are going to, be partaking in it or potentially partaking in it. Is there any type of data or kind of data that will be available to the competitors to help them secure sponsorship? Like, will there be any data that will translate back down to the drivers, if you will, that can then basically utilize that to then sell their own sponsorship and build their brands? Or is that something that is very far down the line? And the reason why I ask that is because, NASCAR and those types of industries usually have the broadcast rights, if you will. And the teams have access to the data, right? The viewership numbers
some
and those
of
types of some of it.
Some of it.
No, some of it. And obviously there's a lot of it that is proprietary, right? But has there been any discussion about that at all? Because I do see that as not only an avenue to help, the teams, but also if they're buying advertising for their cars for Company X, then it's a revenue source for MAV TV as well, because then they're going to want to buy ads through the broadcast. But has there been any talk about that, or is that something that is even looked at, Mike?
No, I mean, you make a good point, Joe, and no, I mean, it's certainly something that we've had, preliminary discussions around. Obviously, like I said, this kind of came together a lot quicker than we had anticipated. But however, with that said, you know, there is certainly data that we can share in terms of, you know, the availability of the reach of the channel. As I mentioned earlier, when you combined all the systems that we're on, you know, you got about 5.2 million households in Canada that can access MAV TV. When you start to drill down onto some of the other numbers of homes in, yeah, there's some data there that we can certainly share. But I mean, I can tell you it's certainly a seven plus figure number that we're actually with subscribers, which is very encouraging, especially that I really consider this kind of year two in terms of the channel being sort of available. And so with that, I think a lot of it also comes down to, you know, them being able to say to their sponsors, look, it's going to be on this platform in Canada, but it's also going to be in the United States. And, you know, U.S. side, their reach is, I think, a little over 32 million households. So
exactly.
if someone's already, a sponsor's already making that investment to get behind a car and a team, certainly those things have to help. Even if we can't quantify it right now, you know, right down to the actual exact viewership number, certainly when we talk in those broad terms, I have to believe it's going to be helpful to a number of the race teams.
100% it will be.
It's going to be incredible. Mike, I know everyone has enjoyed having you on this program tonight, and I know we look forward to getting you back on whenever you have got time to jump on here and give us an update. I know we're all going to be watching on MAV TV Canada, and we're going to be doing that not just this Friday, but every single day all the way around the calendar. But this is tremendous news. Congratulations on absolutely everything. And if there is anything we can do to help do anything, you just you got my number, bud.
Absolutely, Joe and Joe. And again, I really appreciate that you guys taking the time to have me on talking about it. Like I said, we'd like to let the work speak for itself, but certainly appreciate the opportunity to kind of come on and just share a little bit of additional insight as to what we're trying to push on with MAV TV Canada.
Well, you get some rest, my friend. You are going to need it. Friday's going to be here before you know it, and I want you to know that absolutely all of us will be tuned in on the East Coast of Canada as we bring you the Cummins 150. We'll definitely be entertained with the Big O on Friday night out there in Halifax.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
Joe. Wishing you guys all the best on the East Coast as well, and looking forward to some more opportunities we can arrive from there as well.
You bet. That's Mike Garrow, MAV TV Canada. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Joe and Joe. Talk to you guys soon.
And there he goes. Dynamite stuff, Junior. I can't wait to see how everything unfolds. And I can't tell you how proud I am to see everything that's being developed. And I'll tell you, that guy right there, Mike Garrow, has been a driving force.
Yeah.
He could have gave up. He could have quit. He didn't.
Absolutely.
He kept digging and digging, and that's what it takes.
Yeah, he's been burning the midnight oil for sure. You know, for the last couple of years, really, we're getting, you know, notifications after notifications of new broadcast partners and you know, new content and you know, different things that were being put in place to make this happen. And, you know, it's really cool to see his vision and their vision coming to fruition. You know, we had a great conversation in the shop just the other day, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, back in the day, a regional sponsor, there wasn't enough money there to make it an impact.
Right, right.
This is a national opportunity for these guys. Get out there, sell, and get some sponsorship out of this deal.
We got to make the most of it.
Absolutely.
100% support is what it's going to take for everybody to be successful, and this is really going to go a long way. We got to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date on some news you may have missed over the last hour or so. Don't know what else. Man, I'll tell you what, we had a ton of news right here. But I digress. We're going to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date, and then we'll be back with you for hour number two coming up. Cole Butcher, we'll hear from yesterday's winner. We'll also hear from Jordan Sims, our APC winner, and so much more coming at you live on Racetime Radio. We'll be back down to you guys in Toronto. Get us up to date. Thanks, guys.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by
the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side off.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing! New race leader off two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins tonight on Racetime Radio. Want to thank you for tuning in on Sirius XM channel 167, or maybe, just maybe, you're tuned in through the week on the Performance Motorsport Network.com down in the U.S. Hello and welcome to you. Or how about 98.9 XFM, Andy Gnish, Nova Scotia? We're coming your way. Not this weekend. We're going to be in Halifax. But the weekend after, we are coming to Antigonish, Nova Scotia, and heading to Riverside for the season opener there. Or maybe you're tuned in on demand, and you did that by going to iTunes and searching Racetime Radio, clicked on subscribe. And you never miss Racetime Radio again. And that's the cool part. Whatever way you're tuned in, we got to thank you for doing that. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we, Junior? And bring in a winner from just last night at Petty International Raceway. This guy's a champion in the Parts for Trucks Tour. He's also race one winner. He won the Lucas Oil 150 just last night at Petty. Let's welcome in driver the number 53 for Atlantic Till Load. We have Cole Butcher with us. What's going on, Cole? How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic, man. You came out of the box the right way. You went and got your first win of 2019. How'd that feel?
It felt good. You know, we get the first one out of the way for the 2019 season. We had a good car. We had a good group of guys, and I know we had the shows that we put a lot of work in over the winter.
Yeah, it sounds like it, man. I haven't seen – I've seen one photo. Actually, it was a beautiful photo, too. I don't know. Maybe Mike took that one, but it was a picture of you and the two. You guys looked like you were running pretty close.
Yeah. Me and Ashton, and we raced hard all night, actually. That young gentleman, he'll be – really good the next couple of years. Actually, he's really good now. Just hopefully he finds a. I know Brad and them are putting a part-time schedule together this year, so hopefully they can get some funding and put together a full-time season next year, because he's gonna go places.
It sounds like it, man. He ran second to you. That's saying a lot, right there. He did have the lead, though. I do believe I was following along on the Pro Stock Tour Twitter page, and I know there was some lead changing happening. Where did you start the race?
We started eighth.
Eighth? How did you get all the way back there? Not a good qualifying run, or is that just where it shook up?
It's just where it shook up. You know, we started eighth in our heat race, actually finished third, so we just took our time. Heat races, you know, first couple races of the year, everybody's trying to figure out how to race the car again. So, you know, just a little bit of hiccups in the heat races, but nothing that slowed us down.
And kept her going. That's the way to do it. Now, Jarrett was out there too, your brother. He ended up with a top five finish. Not a bad run for him. The two cars come out of the same shop. Do you guys work on them side by side? Or how does that all work out with two teams coming out of the same shop?
We work together. I mean, shop night Tuesday night, so I'll scale my car Tuesday. He'll scale his car Wednesday. We do it together, so I mean, it's not a top secret, I guess, together. So everybody works together. When it shows up on race day, we have the 54 team and the 53 team. So, I mean, if there's any questions, he asks me or I'll ask him. So, I mean, we work together, so it's a pretty open team.
drastically different setups between the two of you, or do you like the same sort of setup? Could you jump in the 54 and do what you do in the 53?
I think so. I mean, he drives a little bit different, but the setups are pretty well the same, so I'd say they're pretty close to being equal.
No, that's good. Now, Cole, we had you on this program. We've had you on quite a few times. I don't know whether it was last fall when we were discussing 2019, and there was the potential there that you weren't going to do the full year. Has that changed? Are you going to do the full year? It'd be pretty hard to give it up now, especially with a first win.
Right now, my schedule is right next week, and then I won't be back until Riverside IWK 250, so... That's my plan right now. I know we have the points lead and everything right now, but, I mean, honestly, I've been there, done that. I'd like to get the IWK 250 under my belt, the Oxford 250, you know, focus on the big races. We're thinking we'll go to Fredericton this year or Ducasse, so I'm focusing on the big stuff. I know work's busy. I mean, I just got a little puppy, and we have a brand-new host that I need to get some lawn down. So I mean, I got real life ahead of me, so I mean, I'm still gonna put my 110% into my racing, but most of it will be at the shop. I'm gonna do a lot of testing, working with Jared a lot, just to get my program better, because it's hard to work and work on your race car program at the same time. So I'm just trying to learn. This year is more like a learning year for myself and the team, and you know, we've been at it for 6 years. I know that's not a very long time, but in reality it's nice to have a little break.
Yeah, a little break every now and then wouldn't hurt, especially when you go at it as hard as you guys do. This wasn't your first race of the year, right? Petty wasn't your first one. You started out down the U.S. back in April, didn't you?
Yeah, we went to Oxford last month. We placed fourth, you know, just getting tuned up for the Oxford 250. We're building a brand-new car right now for the Oxford 250 with the new style body and everything, so... We'll probably head back down there in the next month or so once that car gets built and tuned it up. So, once that gets built, that'll be our main car for down there. So we wanted to go down and just get our feet wet again.
So does that kind of, if you're in the process of building a new car, does that kind of take you out of the seat, if you will, with Donnie and the number two car, or does that, not the number two car, but the number two team, are you going to have your own effort put together for that stuff, or are you still going to do some racing with Donnie and those guys?
No, we still plan on doing some races with Donnie. I'd like to go to Slinger. We talked about Berlin, but Berlin's the same weekend. Well, it's the Sunday after Riverside.
Yep.
And I'm going to help my brother at Riverside. But no, two different deals. My stuff's pretty much it for Path North. Maybe a couple shows in Hickory or down in North Carolina. But once we go further than that, I'm with Donnie Wilson all the way.
Nice.
He's building a couple new rowdy cars right now. So I feel like they're pretty badass. So I'm itching to get one of them. But right now I use my Jeff Taylor Distance Racing products up here. And so far, they're working pretty good.
I seen the announcement that Donnie did place his entry blank for the Canadian Short Track Nationals at Ducasse. And I know you mentioned Ducasse or Fredericton. Which one is it, Cole? You got to tell us. You got to tell us right now. The gun's to your head, bud.
The purse is nice for Ducasse, but you're going to have to spend at least half of that to get down there, in my opinion. So, honestly, Fredericton's winning the battle right now. By the time we get home from Oxford and then we have to fly everybody back down to Ducasse, it's possible. I just don't know if I want to do it, honestly.
Well, you'll, after you get a few more races underneath, knowing you, Cole, there's never enough races, enough laps. You want to go fast, you want to be in it all the time. I can see that after you get that grass planted, it'll be, look out, I want to go racing.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I will say this, that I took you at the beginning of the year, we had like a 10-minute segment, and it was kind of a rapid fire. Now, I took you to win the championship in the Pro Stock Tour, so I'm a little mad at you right now.
You're going to have to replace me with somebody else.
Yeah, see, I don't know if Dad over here will let me take a... Will you let me take a sub here?
No, you're not getting another pick. No, sirree.
Well, then you screwed me, Cole. You got to race the next race, bud.
We'll confirm after next weekend.
There you go. The car you won, the Lucas Oil 150, with just yesterday at Petty International Raceway, was that another brand new car, Cole, or was that the 53 from last year, one of them?
It was four races old, and we redid it over the winter, so it was pretty well brand new.
Yeah, well, it worked. It worked real good. Can you see anything that you're going to have to switch up for Scotia Speed World this coming weekend? Because we go right back at it in the Cummins 150.
Yeah, I got another car that I'm racing next weekend.
So you'll just reload and put that one out there?
Pretty much.
Yeah, good stuff. Did you get any test in at Scotia to get prepared for next weekend's race?
I did test last Wednesday, and we were half decent. It was really windy and cold, so the tire counts weren't even getting up there. But we were comfortable. We'll scale tomorrow night, and we'll try to get on Saturday. But I think we'll be decent.
Yeah, it's going to be a dynamite race. You can guarantee it. That first one at Scotia is always it's always exciting. I can guarantee that. Racing all the way around, I don't care if you're back in 15th or 16th spot, you're still going to be side-by-side with somebody, and it'll be that way all night long, won't it?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Scotia's a great track, side-by-side racing from lap 1 to 150. So I'm sure we'll put on a show for everybody, and hopefully everybody will be able to make it out, and the weather won't be too cold.
Yeah, it looks sunny right now. It looks sunny. It does look cool, but the cars really respond well when it is like that.
Yeah, that's right. I bet the track will probably be pretty fast. We might hit the track record. That'd be kind of cool. So we'll have to wait and see. Track changes by day, so I guess we'll know when we show up on Saturday.
Yeah, all the answers will be on Saturday. Qualifying this year, things have changed around a little bit. How did the changes go, race number one, and will it affect everybody, like for race two here? What are the changes like?
Well, he's not going to start inside the top 10 now.
I can't start in the top 10 anymore.
He can't start in the top 10 at all. Remember when we had...
That's right, yes. Too. Yeah, yeah.
So you can't start in the top 10 anymore.
That's going to be
no
exciting.
Problem. I'd rather start last.
I've seen you do it and still make your way to the front.
Yeah, actually, this weekend went really good. Scott Cunning did a really well job. There wasn't a lot of caution laps. I was able to choose, which was a big benefit to me because the outside was awesome at Petty. I forgot about that whole 11th place or lower starting spot, however it worked. So I guess I don't have to go too hard in the heat races anymore. So save some tires there. But actually, it was really good. I was very surprised with how everything did. I had, honestly, a little bit of doubts with Scott, but he did an awesome job this weekend.
Yeah, cool. Scotty is a good guy. He knows what he's doing. I think he's going to be really, really good for the series. Can't wait to get out to that East Coast and get this Cummins 150 underway. It's all going to be live on Racetime Radio, presented by Atlanta Tilt Load. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great night.
Yeah, that's right. It will be. Well, the Legend car is there, the Pro Stock Tour. Can't get much better than that, and you guys will be there.
Now, are you going to do double duty? Are you going to jump into a Legends car?
Maybe. I think Shelby's racing part-time this year. I might show up at a Friday night, but right now we will have a Legend car in the Tour with Shelby Baker on Saturday, so I guess there will be 253s racing, but he'll be in one car and I'll be in the other.
Nah, you're not going to jump over. You know what? It's great on a Friday night. Seen it before. Where you decide that I'm going to come out and jump into a car. It's awesome to see you back in a Legend car because there's competition plus in that series.
Yeah, that's right. You got Corey Hall, Emily Meehan. They're the top competitors right now. It's just hard to find time to jump into one of these days when you're focused on everything else.
You know what? I was blown away at the speed of the Legends car. Now, I've seen Legends cars all over North America, right? Like, I've seen them at quite a few tracks. I was absolutely astounded. When I was there with the Pinty Series, the Legends, the League of Legends were there.
At Riverside.
Yeah, during the Pinty's weekend. And I was standing in the infield. We were getting the cars ready, and they roll out for practice. And when they went by me down the backstretch, I was like, what?
What was that?
Wow. That has got to be a fun track in a Legends car. It astounded me. I had to go outside and watch it from the grandstands because I wanted to watch the race. And I watched the Legends race from out in the grandstands, and man, what a cool place for a Legends car. It's just you can't breathe off the throttle very much in those things, do you?
No, not really. Riverside's good for any type of race and mini dogs, the Legend cars, but you know, Legend guys, they always put on a great show. The front ends are pretty twitchy on those things, so they make for a better driver once you jump up to the pro stock. So they're honestly harder to drive than a big car. So you know, you learn a lot in them, and that's probably what helps me, Dylan, and Jarrett, and so on.
I can tell you, one of the years Matt Crafton was with us for the IWK 250, it was out there on the Thursday night, the practice night, and Matt had his car pretty well tuned in. Donald and those guys had his car done up pretty good. And I don't, was it you, Cole, that offered Matt a ride in a Legend car, and he took it? He had a great big grin when he come back in. He said, I'd never driven a Legend car. He said that was a gas. Was it your car?
No, I think it was Kevin McLean. He worked for Donald, too.
That's it. Yeah, you're right. That's who it was. I can tell you, Crafton loved it.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too.
Incredible. Well, Cole, you got the first one out of the way, and you got the win. Same crew as last year. You got anybody new?
We actually moved some guys around. The Pixie Kaiser, he used to be my spotter. He's now my crew chief. David's still my... He does just the hands-on stuff. James retires. Craig Langell's actually my spotter now. Then we gained another guy, Huey. Huey, so he does kind of everything. He's like he's a person of all trades. But Dad jumped over with Jarrett to focus on him, so I guess that's about it.
Oh, good. Well, things are moving around. It'll be a little different for absolutely everybody. But you're getting the same kind of results, and that's cool when you can do it, Cole.
Yeah, that's right.
Good for you, man. Congratulations on the win. I know we all look forward to seeing you out there Saturday night under the lights at Scotia Speed World.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me, and we'll look forward to seeing you.
You want to believe it. That is Cole Butcher, driver of the number 53 in the Parts for Trucks Tour. Comes out of the gate swinging, gets the first win. That's cool.
He's an all right kid, huh?
Uh-huh.
He's an all right guy.
Yeah, he's an all right driver.
Even though he's screwing me on the, you know, I picked him
on
you
the
know?
Championship.
Picked him, and you didn't give me the heads up. I didn't realize that he wasn't racing full time. Cole, you got to race full time this year. You can take next year off, bud.
You know what?
Just so you know,
he is the kind of guy. You know what? And they're all the same, right?
Oh, yeah.
All these competitive drivers are all the same. I'd like a little break. No, I want to get in the car. I'll take a break next time.
That's right.
And they get out, they have success, and success breeds success. They want to get out there and
by the sounds of it, though, he's not taking a break with the aggressive schedule that he's got laid out. And honestly, all the power to him.
Yeah.
I absolutely love when a driver, it's not, you know, stepping out of racing full-time in a series, once you've got that championship, it's right. time to conquer some other stuff. If you've got other goals and aspirations in racing, that's the best plan. You know, you did win that championship. You're always going to be remembered as the champion from 2018.
Right.
You know, he's got basically all the big wins. He doesn't have the IWK yet, but he's got the big wins. You know, it's not necessarily moving up if he goes and runs Berlin. You know, he's proven himself down there in a super late model.
Yeah,
but it's not a sideways step either. It's not a lateral step to go run the big races at whether it be Berlin or the Jucasa race or
the
you know
Oxford
the All American yep. 400 or the Snowball Derby. You know, those are races that you know all those crown jewel races are so crucial and they're so cool to be a part of. And really the coolest part is that the Pro Stock Tour groomed that, you know, that competitiveness into Cole Butcher. So, and the same thing can be said about, the APC Tour or the, you know, the CRA Tour across the border.
Right.
It's the same deal. It's, you know, I actually really, like the fact that he's still supporting the tour when he can, but he does have other aspirations and he's planning on racing elsewhere as well.
Yeah, it's not like he's stepping away for due to lack of competition. I guarantee you that. Like the competition that he faces in the Parts for Trucks Tour is going to be, I would say, and I know it's not a stretch, it will be tougher than the competition he's going to go step into. With the stuff when you go to that All-American 400 or the Snowball Derby, trust me when I say you go there, you haven't got 15 or 16 guys that can go win the race. Not at those big ones. You got four or five guys that can go win that race.
But those four or five guys are head and shoulders above
everybody,
above the entire thing. Now, you've got 15 or 16 guys the same. So, you know, when I look at the Speed Weeks, right? Speed Weeks, you roll down there and there's a solid four or five guys that can win every single night in every division.
Tell about halfway through the week, and then you know who's going to win that race.
Correct.
Unless they break.
Correct. But what I will say is that those four or five guys are so lights out better than you. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't say better than you. I'm saying better equipment than you got.
Well, better equipment, better team, yes. Better whatever.
Yeah.
Better driver. Better whatever. Whatever that magic piece is. And usually it's the whole package.
Right.
So, like, when you go to the Snowball Derby, and of course, you know, Cole Butcher has been lights out the past couple of years in the Derby.
Right.
With Donnie and those guys. But there's 10 guys that sure can win the race.
Mm-hmm.
But there was 60 cars show up, and out of those 60, you're equal to probably 25 of them.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the humbling part of the sport, is when you go outside of your territory and start racing with other, and it doesn't have to be going down south. It could be
right. Going
outside your territory and racing against different guys in the APC Tour.
Right.
Or racing against different guys in the CRA Tour. You don't know what you got until you get there,
right?
And it doesn't really matter the division either. This isn't a late model conversation. It's all forms of racing.
Sure.
If you are the champion in Thunder Cars at Delaware Speedway, and you've never raced anywhere else other than Delaware Speedway, don't call yourself the best until you go race Sunset, until you go race Sauble, until you go, you know, take on another division
at another track.
Exactly.
Right,
and that's the neat part about racing is they'll be better at different things than you. And each track and each place that you can take in, it's just going to elevate your program. And when you look at the guys, look at a guy like Taylor Holdaway, right?
Right.
Really didn't travel a whole lot between Sunset, Barry Speedway, and Peterborough. That's kind of where he stayed.
That's his circle, yeah.
And now the guy is stepping out and he's running a handful of races, but he's going and running, you know, Nashville, and he's going and running Hickory, and he's going to run all these different races down south. And every time he hits the racetrack, he gets better and better. And the same thing can be said about any of those guys that, kind of bounce around like that. You don't have to drive 16 hours to find different or better competition. Not necessarily better in the rule book stance, but
right. Better,
I mean, just, you know, different competition.
I think back to last fall when the All-American 400 was coming up. I believe it was Mike Weaver was there.
Matt put a
Twitter out. Yeah, we got this many cars, and I was looking down through the list, and I believe Cole was the only Canadian that I seen
in supers.
I responded back to him, and I said, "And nothing had happened yet. This is just a list of competitors. They hadn't hit the racetrack yet." I say, "Keep your eye on the number 53, Cole Butcher. He will fill your eyes."
Yep.
Well, lo and behold, out it goes. Practice happens, qualifying happens, and Cole got the pole for the All-American 400.
Absolutely.
If there's one race that I wish Mother Nature didn't squash, it's that race.
And I guarantee Cole echoes that.
I believe Cole Butcher on that weekend would have been very, very successful.
Yep, and I do as well.
Yeah.
You know, he's always got – the neat part about Cole is that he's always got speed when he needs it.
Right.
And you know, you need it for the pole to get a good qualifying time.
Yeah.
A good qualifier isn't necessarily a good race car driver.
Not necessarily.
But a good finishing race car driver is going to be quick sometimes, but when they're on it, they're on it.
Right.
And that's the way Cole is he's just – you know, he's just on it. And another guy equally as fast – and likely a little bit faster on those little short runs is Dylan Blankhorn. Because he's super aggressive, right?
Yep.
He's a very aggressive driver. And I look at the speed charts during practice and during qualifying. And really, if you look at your fast guy,
right.
the guy who usually ends up winning the race,
right.
he wasn't top four in practice or time trials.
May not be, yeah.
But sometimes they are. Sometimes right. they, you know, sometimes they stumble on it and they're so good that day that they're just going to go out and get the pole. They're going to win practice and they're going to win the race.
Right.
You know, and that's the way Cole is. He's just steady as it goes. And you can hear it just talking about the heat, right? He started eighth and finished third in the heat and just very calm, cool, and collected and went on with it.
I checked in with the 99 of Craig Slonwhite after yesterday's race. He's got a brand-new Crooks car. Said to him, how was it? Like, not seeing you in the top five here, but how was your day? He said, new car, getting used to it. He said, man, when we get a handle on this car, it's going to be very, very good.
Yeah, definitely.
So, and, you know, new car woes.
Yep.
It happens.
Well, you look at Andrew Gruzzell. I think it shocked a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
At Sunset. Now,
no doubt.
They got their motor Wednesday night,
yep.
right? It was talked about during the broadcast, but they got their motor Wednesday night or Tuesday night, whatever the night was.
Yeah, and it wasn't like you just take the motor and put it
in. No,
it was
a brand new car,
brand
you know,
car.
With a motor.
Everything's got to fit.
Everything's got to fit and align up. So really, they worked until like 3 o'clock in the morning, the night before the race.
Yeah.
Any time that you do that and you show up to a big event like an APC race or
Pro
Stock Tour race,
something.
Oh, you're not going to be good. And, you know, that's the same thing. Andrew went out there. They had a loose bolt or loose bolts in the rear end. So, it's puking rear gear oil. And,
yeah.
You know, the radios died and all the things that you would normally be prepared for, you're not.
Right.
And new car woes, just as much as unprepared woes, can bite you every single time.
Right.
And that's I'm really looking forward to catching up with Jordan Sims. That guy was prepared. And
he sure
he's
was.
On the other side of this break.
Yeah, he is. Well, he's going to be a little bit later, but he is coming up. We're going to hit this break. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Bob Barron from Carquest Auto Parts for Racetime Radio.
Racetime Radio hits the road Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
We've been waiting for this for 7 long months.
It's live, flight-to-flight coverage of the Cummins 150.
We have a gold green.
Featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
Tighten them up, because this is going to get wild.
Under the lights at Scotia Speed World in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
I think you can get it done.
Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Try to get to the front, I guess.
From pre-race to post-race, including live flight-to-flight coverage.
I only steer the wheel.
Only on racetimeradio.com. For event tickets and details, get to scotiaspeedworld.ca.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Baby.
Hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh, USA.
Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home great. Away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Taking you all the way to the track.
And back.
It's Racetime Radio.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Welcome back. I'm Joe Chisholm along with Junior here in the RTR studio. I guess we still got a race going on at Flamborough Speedway. We're trying to get some updates on that, baby. 28 late models showed up there today, pro late models. Night number one of the Grisdale Triple Crown. So that'll be interesting. Just leafing through Facebook here. Doesn't look like it was a good day for Tom Gibbons. It looks like his car got tore up. But we'll try and get you some info on that. Junior, let's...
Yeah, rough night by the sounds of it. Just kind of scrolling through here, and it sounds like Tom Gibbons and Ryan Kimble actually got into
it. Oh, was it?
Yeah, Ryan Kimble. Kimble's car got wrecked really bad.
That's two races for Kimble that didn't turn out well.
Rough start to the year for those boys.
Yeah, well, JR's got to be there, I would well imagine. He's had great success at Flamborough Speedway, different car than what he uses for APC, but...
I think this one was the APC car, though.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
He took the Van Doren piece?
He took the bullet. I think it was more or less to get it shook down for the next race.
For the Flamborough race. Yeah.
But, it wasn't the 14 that he was in, so no. That he was using for the... That was his older car.
Right. That wouldn't be a Flamborough points-paying event. That would have been
triple
crown race. Right.
Correct.
So, yeah, that would change it a bit too, wouldn't it?
I mean, I'd bring my good piece for a triple crown race.
So would I. You know what? We got time for phone calls. If you want to dial in, give us a shout here. 888-572-2384 is the hotline phone number. You want to jump on here? You give us a ring. We got time to set you on here before we grab Jordan Sims, winner of the APC race number one Daco 100. Presented by Quaker State. That was a great race. If you missed it and you want to have a listen back to it, it is uploaded. You can get to it off of Racetime Radio's website, or you can get to iTunes and type in that Daco 100, and you can relive that race. Have a listen to it. It was a great race. We had a good time with it. Coming up this coming weekend, well, next weekend, this is Sunday, coming up next Saturday, you want to tune in to Racetime Radio. We're going to have live coverage of the Cummins 150 from Scotia Speed World. It'll be live flag to flag. We'll have pre-race, we'll have post-race, and live flag to flag coverage all the way through. And that is the Parts for Trucks Tour. We're so excited to bring you that live coverage once again. And that will set off a chain of just about four in a row for us.
Yep.
We'll be heading off to Riverside the week after. So the June 8th race will be the Riverside opener. And we're going to have that for you live. We'll also be bringing you back to Scotia Speed World for the Nova Truck Centers 150. And the weekend after that, Junior, off to PEI, Oyster Bed Speedway. Can't
inaugural
wait
trip
to get out there. Yes, sir.
Inaugural trip to Potato Country.
That is going to be a gas. We're looking forward to that first trip to PEI.
I wonder if they're going to make you dig potatoes when you go.
Who knows?
Do they?
Who knows? I don't know.
I think they should.
We go out to Newfoundland, they make you drink.
That's they definitely do that.
Yeah, maybe when you get to PEI, they make you dig spuds. I don't know. We're going to find out. But you know what? We've got to call her up on the hotline. Let's... bring in, look at that, it's Kent. What's going on, buddy?
Not much, boys. What's happening tonight?
Well, we're just working through it, having some fun. Do you got MAV TV hooked up yet or what? Do you have MAV TV hooked up yet?
Oh, yeah, I've had it since, I think it was February or March.
Good.
I got it.
You dialed it in. Do you like it?
Yeah, I use it to... I don't watch it a whole lot, but I like being able to pick up the ARCA races. Well, that's what I watch mostly on it.
Absolutely. And did you hear, you heard the announcement, right? You heard from Mike here. We got some live Canadian stuff coming at you.
Yeah, some Oswegan stuff, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be dynamite. You haven't seen that track, have you?
No,
you wait. Kent, you're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Pretty awesome listening into the APC series. Well,
oh,
I think that was
good. Do you enjoy it?
Broadcast.
Yeah, good.
Once you got your difficulties straightened out.
Yeah. Well, we definitely had some technical issues trying to get patched into the studio. The phone line we were using is got one of those Bell connected answering machine type things to it, and anytime someone would phone the Speedway, it would either drop out our line, or it would cut our bandwidth in half, and the sound quality went for a dump.
I thought you were on Country Internet.
No. We tried doing that, but I'll tell you what. Good part is before the Daco 100, everything normalized. We had it, and the sound stayed good.
Yeah, no, it was, like I say, it was great for listening to something different out east here. I'm not able to get to the other parts of the country, so.
Good deal.
Did you watch the Indy 500?
From memory, back in when you had Cole on in midwinter.
Yes.
You either didn't listen or your memory's not very good, because I believe Cole said then that he wasn't planning on running the full season.
Yeah, well, he said it was up in the air, but then I heard from a birdie that he was running the full deal, so I took it. And yeah. It was a risk on my behalf, but
it wasn't a bird, it was a cuckoo bird.
It wasn't a calculated risk, Kent.
But you take with the win this weekend.
Yep.
And if he wins the Cummins 150 this weekend, he might be more inclined that if you start out the season three races and three wins, he might jump in that car a little bit more and not necessarily have to race the whole season to win the championship, because I don't think that's a buy rule, is it?
As long as
if you were racing and had enough points.
That's right. You got enough points, you'd be the man.
Because there's enough guys in that Pro Stock Tour to spread out the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah.
That even if he didn't race one or two races, because naturally you expect to be off one or two nights in a 12-race season.
No,
that's right.
I mean, if you miss one of these races, though, if you miss one of these races, there's enough points that you would be out of it. You wouldn't be out of the top five, but you couldn't, even if you won, like out of 12 races, if you won 10 of them, you couldn't miss two and still win the championship.
I don't know how the points are divvied up with the parts for trucks tour to the fact that, let's say Cole went out there, of course he won last weekend, let's say he wins the Cummins 150, he gets to Riverside the weekend after, and he wins that one. Now he's got three wins, and that's where he's supposed to sort of hold things until the IWK 250. But if you're in that position, what would stop him, and nothing would stop him, I guess, from sending the 53 with a different driver in it and still calculating points when he's gone somewhere else? I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure. Because you take after these three races, that takes you into June 8th.
Right.
And the IWK is July 17th.
20th.
There's probably only two races, because there'd be an off weekend there before the IWK usually.
Right, yeah.
So there's only probably going to be two races. And like you say, you're allowed so many starts. I don't know if you'd be allowed more than two.
Right.
But I think you're probably allowed two starts for somebody else to be in the car collecting your points.
Right.
Because when George was injured there.
Oh, that's right, too. Yeah, yeah. When George got hurt.
Somebody jumped in his car. I think young Melangel.
Right.
Jumped in and drove there for a couple races until. And then he decided that was it. But.
Yeah. Yeah, incredible.
But anyways, you're watching the cup race? You got that on the big screen there in the background?
Well, I was thinking of pulling it up on the phone there, Kent. I was going to do that.
They're wrecking some stuff, I can tell you that.
Yeah, the Toyotas seem to be having a right front tire issue.
Yep.
Whether it's their camber or a Truix, and them all have raised the wall, but I think that's just the speed they're carrying. They're sliding it because they're doing a lot more slide job passes.
Did you enjoy the Indy 500? What a race that was.
I wasn't around. I wasn't around to watch that at all. Today,
ooh.
So.
Buddy, I'll tell you what, that was a smoking Indy 500.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
anyways,
a dandy.
Some exciting racing coming, and we'll see how it plays out in the Pro Stock Tour.
Absolutely.
Be listening in to the big ones.
Yeah, absolutely, Kent. You know what? We're going to cut you loose here because we got Jordan Sims coming up.
Yep.
You
all right, boys.
Stay tuned, buddy. Thanks for calling. There we go. That is Kent. He's off and running. Always great to hear from him.
Yeah, definitely. Big King Racing fan.
Yes, sir. You want to believe it. Huge King Race fan.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I don't know who we're going to see this weekend coming up in the Cummins 150. I don't know if we're going to see the 13. I imagine we're going to see one of the 13s in it.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
It will be for sure.
You will see some different cars at Scotia than we're at Petty.
Yep.
A lot of the same guys, but you will see some new guys added in there. We're going to hit this final break. Jordan Sims coming up on the other side of the break, and we'll take it from there right to the end. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Matt Box, driving number 27 Monte Carlo late model, sponsored by Transport Trailer Sales Incorporated, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
Racetime Radio hits the road Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
We've been waiting for this for 7 long months.
It's live, flight-to-fly coverage of the Cummins 150. Featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
Tighten them up, because this is going to get wild.
Under the lights at Scotia Speed World in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
I think you can get it done.
Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Try to get to the front, I guess.
From pre-race to post-race, including live flag-to-flag coverage.
I only steer the wheel.
Only on racetimeradio.com. For event tickets and details, get to scotiaspeedworld.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
New to SiriusXM, it's Faction Talk.
Whoa! Cut it out.
Lucky us. What a time to be alive.
Mornings with Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
I get tweets every day about how terrible my co-host is, but I don't listen to him.
Absolutely, because I'm the one sending them.
That's Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
Hot takes on hot topics.
That's right. No sloughing off on this radio show.
Live Monday through Friday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern. Only on Faction Talk. SiriusXM 103. Or listen on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
More Short Track Live, coast to coast, next. Only on Racetime Radio.
Everyone wants to be on Canada Talks, including Oprah Winfrey.
The biggest step is the first one. And before the biggest step is the decision to take it. You know, I think everything happens when you decide. And once you decide, the universe arranges itself in alignment with that decision.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167, and on demand with the SiriusXM app.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Thanks, Ked. Thanks for bringing us back. Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. We're going to get right back to the hotline, and we're going to bring in a guy that was, like I'm telling you, over the moon just a little over a week ago at Sunset Speedway. He won his first APC race. He comes from Sault Ste. Marie. He won the Dayco 100 presented by Quaker State. Let's welcome in driver of the number 47. We have Jordan Sims with us. Jordan, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, guys. Not too bad. Appreciate you guys having me on the show tonight. Just watching the cup race right now and listening to you guys. So thanks for having me.
Hey, we appreciate your time, man. You had a great race on Saturday night just last week. You guys definitely did your homework over the winter. Let's take us through the off season. It must have been quite an off season for you.
Yeah, well, you know what, we ran those six races with the APC Tour last year, and you know what, I'd never been to any of those tracks at all, so it was a pretty big learning experience for myself and the crew as well. We we worked with McCall's a little bit last year, and they kind of put us in the right direction. And then at the end of the year, we decided to build a new car because we knew we were going for the championship there. So Mike and his guys and us, we kind of put our heads together and built that new car. And it, you know what? I probably wouldn't have told you after the first race we'd be in victory lane, but you know what? I knew our team was capable of it. It just it happened so quick, and it's been a long time coming for us, so it's kind of been a surreal week so far.
Well, you've proven it, my man. You did a dynamite job. You had a number of opportunities there, and there wasn't a lot of caution laps, but there was some restarts that were real tense, and I'll tell you what, you looked like a crafty veteran on that racetrack. You handled it with poise, it like dynamite restarts. I said to Jerry after the race was over, I said, you know what, that Jordan guy, he must have been really, really working in the off season on restarts, whether it was doing it on iRacing or something, because you were a master at it.
Well, I appreciate that. You know what? It's something that I take a little bit of pride in, and is being good at restarts, because that's where you can really make up some positions there. And you know what? I think we caught a lot of people by surprise in that first race. I wouldn't say we're underdogs, but I bet you a lot of people wouldn't have taken us to win that first race. So. You know what? it's been a long time coming. I've been around and touring these series, not just in Canada but in the States for about 11 years now. So I've learned from a lot of guys. I've raced against some guys that are in Cup now. And you know what? Everybody you race against, you learn something from them. And it all came together last weekend, and we finally put that big win together. And it couldn't be happier to start the year off and kind of chase that points championship with the points lead after the first race.
Jordan, that was kind of my next question, is your background. So I know I've watched you, you know, just in the couple of APC races that you've done, and, you know, I've seen you out there, but I want to know your background on what you raced in the past. We had a great conversation sitting in Gressel's shop, and, you know, Gareth, his spotter, said, where did Jordan come from? Like where did, what did he do before? Like, everybody knew that you raced down south and south of the border, like what's your background? What tracks did you cut your teeth on, and kind of, you know, what series have you kind of played in and dabbled in?
Well, you know what, I started at the age of 14 at Laird Raceway, which is kind of my local track that is about a half hour just outside of Sault Ste. Marie here. So that's kind of where I cut my teeth, started in a four cylinder car for my first year, and then we won a couple races and basically moved up to the modified division, which is pretty similar to the Oscar modifieds down in southern Ontario there, and we ended up winning the points championship when I was 15 and 16 there, 2 years in a row, and won about 20 races in those 2 years. So it was a pretty successful start to my racing career, and then we moved up to late models, and I went down to Charlotte and did a bit of the summer shootout and the Thunder Roadsters for a year, and kind of got my feet wet down in the States, and then came back when I was about 18. We started doing the old ASA late model and late model challenge series there with a team called Lawrence Motorsports out of Chicago there. So we ran for them, I think it was about 4 years we ran for them. And we're not really a high budget team. We're kind of a family run team here, so money always isn't readily available. I'm not going to say that we're a low budget, but we always have to save where we can, because we're traveling so much to every race, right? So then ran with them, and then we ran CRA Super Series, the ARCA Midwest Tour there for a few years off and on, just pick and select races, and we did okay. I wouldn't say we did great, but it really was an experience for me and our team. We get to race against some of the best teams in the States, really. You get a lot of top-notch teams, and we ran some of the bigger shows. We ran the All-American 400, and we had a decent run going, but we blew an oil line and caught on fire there one time, and we attempted the Snowball Derby and didn't make the race. Unfortunately, we had a bit of an oversight in tech, and we only got one lap, so it kind of killed our chances there. So just been all over the place, honestly. I've been to a lot of racetracks throughout the states in Canada now, and I wouldn't say I'm a rookie or anything like that. I guess after 14 years of racing, I kind of consider myself a bit of a veteran, especially looking at some of the people and the kids in the APC series now. I'm a little bit older than some of those guys, so it's hard when you come from Northern Ontario. Nobody really expects much out of you when they don't see too much out of you. So
I tell you what, I spotted for a guy for two races from Northern Ontario. His name was George Wilson. There's something in the water. There's something in the water down there. You guys drive into the corner a little differently than everybody else. You're not scared to carry center corner speed.
No, and George is also a great racer that came out of the suit here. He was actually there last weekend, and he was in victory lane with us. But you know what? There's a select few of us that have come out of there, and Jerry Artuso as well, and he's no slouch either, so he's running down the states still. And you know what? We take a lot of pride coming from Northern Ontario and beating those guys that have been at those tracks for their entire life, right?
So absolutely.
It's a sweet feeling.
No doubt. So now, did you have to kick a crew member out of the seat in the hauler to put the trophy in there? The APC's got a really nice trophy set up now. Did you have to kick a crew member out and then strap it in nice and tight in the passenger seat for the hauler ride?
You know what? We almost had to there, but we had some family come down to watch the race there. So we had two trucks heading home. So We threw one of them in the other truck there and put that trophy in the passenger seat and brought it home. It was a pretty nice trophy that those guys have come up with this year, and it was an honor really to get that first one that they've ever really made for it. So it's sitting on the mantle at home here and looks pretty darn sharp.
I tell you what, what is it? Six and a half hours? Six hour
drive?
Barry
was about 6 hours. Yeah. Depending on construction and everything like that, it's all pretty much a two-lane highway until you get to Parry Sound. So,
gotcha.
Nothing's really close for us.
Yeah, absolutely. With your experience, kind of rank the APC Tour. Obviously, it's got to be a really attractive series for a guy to haul that far, number one. But with all the stuff that you've done, rank the APC Tour on the competition scale. I know your answer already, but I want to hear it.
You know what? In all the years that we've run touring series, I would put the APC right near the top. The other one that we ran was the ARCA Midwest Tour, and those guys in Wisconsin there, they just are crazy good at those tracks. But the APC Tour is right there with them, and not even just the competition and everything like that, just the way that the series is run, how professional it is. They take care of the racers, right? Luke and those guys are really making sure that they're trying to look out for us with the free tire program and then the local track incentives and everything like that. It's just they're all about making sure that the racers are taken care of first and making sure everybody is happy, right? And it's on a even playing field. The tech that we go through is pretty extensive with APC. So, you know, it's good to know that you're going to be held to the same standard as the other guy going through the line there and then everything like that. So APC by far is one of the top series that we've run so far.
That's yeah, cool. Gotta love it. I know Luke is, he's been going hard at this, and all the competitors have been as well, the racetracks. It all comes together when everybody concentrates on making a success. Kind of funny how it all works out to be a success when everybody starts pulling on the rope in the same direction, and that's the cool part. Flamborough is up next for you, Jordan. Yep. How do you prepare for it? Is that one of those tracks you ran last year?
It is. I'm not going to lie to you. It was not very nice to me. It was the first time I've ever seen it last year. We didn't go test or anything. We kind of showed up there on race day. Didn't know what to expect. All I've heard was that it's a tight racing track, and there's a lot of angry people after those races. So we ended up qualifying third there last year, which kind of surprised me because, you know what, it was one of those things I didn't really know what to expect. But with the way that the APC runs the part-time guys for the qualifying and everything like that, we had to start 10th, and starting on the outside at Flamborough back in 10th place is always a little more difficult, and especially me never being there. Just kind of got beat up a little bit and used up my tires, and then ended up getting a flat tire, and we just pulled off because we didn't want to tear up the car anymore. So it wasn't great to me, but you know what? This year's a new year, and I think this car that we built on the long run and everything like that is just stable, and it doesn't lose speed, and it's just hard to explain, but it's a really good car, and I think we'll be okay for Flamborough in a couple weeks here.
Yeah, you got to love it, too. Sunset Speedway is where you were last week. It was the Daco 100 presented by Quaker State. Jordan Sims is with us on the hotline, driver of the number 47. And, Jordan, you know, when you look at the crew you got assembled, when you look at everything that has come together for you, it's truly amazing that you're going to head out to Flamborough Speedway and with a points lead. Like, you can't get much better than that.
No, you know what? You can't ask for a better start to the year, and these guys that have been traveling with me, well, three specifically, my dad and Barry Sims and Dean Harton and George Parsons, they've been kind of riding the road with me for a long time, and they're pretty excited, and it's great to know that we're in the points championship hunt and leading the points going to Flamborough, and obviously, Mike McCall from McCall Racing Enterprises is going to bring us a pretty fast hot rod there. I have no doubt about that. It's exciting, you know, and I can't wait to get back there. It's I feel like I have some redemption for that track. So it's going to be a tough race. A lot of those guys run that track weekly, or they're running the Triple Crown there this week, so they're getting some notes for a couple weeks from now. But I have no doubt about our car, and we'll be pretty good for the race there.
So. Mike's got a pretty good notebook. You'll be all right.
Yeah,
he's been around for a while there. So
and don't feel as though you're on an island there when you think Flamborough Speedway just may owe you one. I think there'll be another 24 guys on that racetrack that are doing the exact same thought process.
The top three always call it Flamborough. The next half of the field call it Slamborough.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You gotta use that bumper up, bud. Yeah, go get it. You definitely made an impression on basically everybody at Sunset Speedway, and hats off, congratulations to you, and looking forward to seeing what you can string together for 2019.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on board here. Hopefully we can talk some more throughout the year after a couple more victories and maybe even a few weeks from now. So it's a great show that you guys have going here. It's great for racing in Canada, and I really appreciate you guys have me on here today.
You betcha, bud. We are gonna, you got to give those sponsors one hit, because there's nobody that I know of gets a brand new sponsor and goes out there and gets a checkered flag like you hit.
Absolutely, yeah. You know what, it kind of was also surreal last weekend where we just signed a new sponsor. They came on pretty big for us in Stuff Lubricants. They're kind of a local company from just outside of Sault Ste. Marie here, but they just signed a deal with APC to go in all their stores, and they're working on some other deals with some big retailers in the States and Canada. So they're really pumped about the win. They couldn't have asked for a better start either, and those guys are really, really happy with the results. And then obviously Sims Countertops, our family business, has been backing me for a long time. So it's nice to finally put a checker flag up in the showroom there. And then we have Bristol Sink Soda of London as well, so they came on board. And without them, we wouldn't be here. So sponsors are what keeps the sport going. So
you betcha, buddy. Hey, thanks so much for the time tonight. We got a scoot. You're a good one. We'll save a seat for you.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
You bet. Jordan Sims, man, the guy goes to victory lane in that Daco 100. He's got a good start. Watch out.
Yeah, it's no joke telling people that he made an impression at Sunset.
You want to believe it. We've got to thank you all for tuning in tonight. Make sure you share it. Make sure you tell your friends too, right? Don't forget to pick up Mav TV. Don't forget to get to that website. Don't know what I'm talking about? Go back and listen to the show. You got a chance to win your way into the Big O. Right?
Yeah.
That would be the way to do it.
Pit passes.
Okay. That's going to do it for Junior and I here in the Racetime Radio studio. Got to thank Susie Q here for hooking us up with everybody. And, of course, our pals in Toronto at Sirius XM Channel 167. It's going to be a busy time next weekend. Don't forget to tune into Racetime on Saturday for the Cummins 150, or head to Jucasa. You want to catch the Pindies race? It's happening there. Wherever you go, take your earbuds and your phone along so you don't miss a moment of that Cummins 150. The Parts for Truckster We'll have it for you live on Race Time. That's going to do it for us. Have a good night, everybody, and thanks so much for tuning in again. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.